We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. On today's show, another pass rusher target emerges for the Chiefs. Jordan Lyles continues his historic start and the Browns cooling on D-Hop. Now, two guys who thankfully got the Christian Brown Finals MVP futures in before Game 3 last night, Dusty Likens and Alex Gold.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how that played out. Christian Brown, incredible last night. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But what's up? We got Dusty in for Cody the rest of the week. Actually, it's just Dusty and I tomorrow, as a matter of fact, as well. Nick is going to Paris. Have you started practicing? Paris. Have you started practicing some French?
All
that's
right.
All you got?
Je m'appelle Nick.
Sacre bleu. That means what the hell.
That's what it means, what the hell?
Yeah, the Lumineer from the Beauty and the Beast says it, and everyone always wondered what it was. Look it up, and it means what the hell.
Bink promised he would teach me how to curse in French. He says, Bink, I think, believe...
He can curse in like five languages.
Five languages.
Yeah.
Looking to add a six.
I think if you just drop the F-bomb, they're going to know exactly what you say.
I'm assuming
just
it's
walking
just,
around France.
Just like when you were in Germany, where you're just going to speak English the whole time anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that challenging for you.
Turns out a lot of people speak English.
Yeah.
Pretty nice for us.
Hardest language to learn.
We need some advice for Nick's trip to Paris, though. You can send that in throughout the show. 913-586-7610, J Southland Tow Service text line. I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that have been to Paris before. Now, are you just staying in Paris? Is that it?
No, we're gonna do 3 days in Paris, and then we're gonna take a train down to the southern part of France.
Nice.
Are you gonna propose in the Eiffel Tower?
No.
That's the big question we're all wondering.
I don't think so.
Not happening on this trip?
I don't think so.
She knows this?
I don't know what she knows.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Oh, boy.
You can't predict the
disappointment,
future.
Man.
You can't predict the future.
I mean, first you went on a trip around Christmas, didn't propose then, and now you're going to the most just stereotypical, iconic, romantic...
Yeah, but we had Michael Massey on who recently got engaged, and he said there needs to be reasonable doubt. There needs to be reason for her to believe you're not about to do it, and I don't really have much of that. It'd be too predictable.
Well, that's about the only ring Massey's going to get in a while.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Damn.
By the way, did you...
Shots fired.
Wow. Oh, my.
Early.
Hey, friend of the show just...
The intro's not even done playing
Holy
yet.
Holy cow.
Oh, I'm sorry. 18 wins doesn't solidify it. By the way, did you see the picture for Travis Kelce on the redemption? Like, the Royals just tweeted it because it says first pitch Monday night, Travis Kelce.
Chiefs night.
Not a good picture for Travis Kelce.
Man, you're just taking shots at everybody.
Probably one of the most best-looking people in Kansas City, and this picture, it looks like me.
You're just, okay, so at least now you're being self-deprecating.
Tell me that looks like a...
Where's it at?
Kansas City Royals Twitter page.
Let me see.
Last tweet they put. Tell me that is a good or bad picture, Travis Kelce.
Hold on.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Okay. What is that in his pocket?
Jeez, Dusty.
Look at it again.
I'm good.
Look
man.
At the photo.
I'm good.
Look at the photo and tell me he's not on Blue Chew.
Okay.
Dude, look at the photo, Nick. He's in gray shorts and
right,
it's just, it's right. Very
yeah,
revealing.
We got it, man. It's very revealing.
No wonder that man's always smiling.
We are... 3 minutes, if that, into the show. You're just anybody else you want to call out today already?
Who am I calling out?
I don't know, man. I feel like you've called out Michael Massey and Travis Kelce.
I didn't
in the
call
first
out Massey.
2.5 minutes of the show.
Not really.
You definitely called out Massey. In a way, you gave
I just
Kelsey
said it's the only ring he's going to get in a while.
I see him wearing black pants in the most.
No, he's wearing great. Now, look at the right leg.
Oh, Chiefs account. I was on his account.
Yeah, go to the Royals account. And look at the.
Wait, it says,
Kansas City Royals, where it says redemption, two thumbs up, and then go like waist down, lower right leg. What in the hell is that?
Okay, he's right. Okay, first off, I will say one thing.
What is that, Daddy?
Dusty is right about this not being a flattering
picture. It's not a flattering picture
of Kelsey.
From the waist up.
He looks about 40 pounds heavier than he is in reality.
Exactly.
It's a weird photo. But
and I don't think he has a banana in his pocket.
What is that?
I think it's the, you look at the light.
It's the crease of
the
shorts.
No, it's the light.
It
doesn't
look like a crease.
Look at the sun. Look at like the where the shadow goes from sunlight to shadow.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man, I got to go to the game on Monday to see this.
I'm going on Monday night. I did get some tickets because it's supposed to be a beautiful Monday night. And it is Chiefs night. Kelsey's going to get redemption, throw out the first pitch. Mahomes, Andy Reid going to be there as well. And I want to see this top prospect for the Reds that just got called up. We'll talk a little bit about that because of what happened with his home run ball yesterday. But, yeah, we're off to a great start, man. Good to have you in.
Did you see the picture? Do you see what I'm referencing?
Yeah, I saw it because you told me to go look at it. My first thought was not what your first thought was, but yes.
You guys are both looking at it and smiling.
Well, I just
it's not what it looks like. Yeah. Your mind went there.
Somebody said he's bringing his bat.
He's got a Louisville Slugger in his pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, good God, Travis. Catching Kelsey, good luck.
Yeah,
you need two hands.
No wonder he hasn't settled down yet.
I wouldn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Golly. Must be nice. Best tight end in the world. Popular,
good looking, and then you just have a hog.
Good hell.
You're just incredulous about this.
We're just
give credit where credit's due.
It's 10:07 in the morning. Dusty's ready to go.
11:07 East Coast.
That's right. But well, we are not on the East Coast. Fortunately. today. Let's talk what happened last night a little bit, because it was pretty cool to see Christian Brown for Denver last night in the NBA Finals. Just put on an absolute show and really will that team to a victory. I understand Jokic and Murray, triple-double for both. First time in NBA Finals history, both guys had over 30 points and with a triple-double as well. They were both incredible. But I think if you're taking a look at how the game swung between Miami and Denver, that was Christian Brown. That was a rookie who continues to get more trust from his head coach and a local product, not just because he played at KU and Nick and I are KU guys, but obviously played at Blue Valley Northwest here in the Kansas City area as well. I mean, you even had Mike Breen making calls on the game like this.
Racing up the floor, goes right at Butler, leads in, shot is good. It's the Christian Brown show here in the fourth quarter, and the lead is ballooned to 21.
I don't know what chain they give out after the game, but it better be given to Christian Brown.
He can pronounce his name any way he wants.
Exactly.
It was the Christian Brown show for a period of time there. The guy only played, 19 minutes last night, but had 15 points, Dusty?
Yeah, he was third in points behind the two conglomerates in you know, the guys that lead the Denver Nuggets. But I think the greatest, like you mentioned it, 15 points in 19 minutes, obviously, you know, you hear the announcers talk about how great it is, but it's also like, it always kind of seems with Christian Brown to me is that like, it didn't matter like where he was going to live up to like what he can do. Like even at KU, like there were times where like what Grady Dick this year would just go like incognito. Like you wouldn't know he was on the floor. And I thought we saw a lot of that with Andrew Wiggins too. Like the guys that were really hyped up at Kansas, and Christian Brown was a local kid. So there was like that little, you know, dash of fondness to it. And then you look at, you know, Grady Dick, local kid, Wichita, was supposed to be like this superstar player, didn't really live up to the hype that he had. Andrew Wiggins, I think we could both agree, did not really live up to the hype that Andrew Wiggins had. Now, again, a lot of that's unfair because a lot of people say, well, this is the best prospect since LeBron. They said it about Wiggins, the Canadian kid. But the other thing, too, is that like with Christian Brown, it's like, okay, we know the story, like the five, possibly played for five straight championships, cut from his team freshman year. Cool story. I get it. Not everybody's a KU guy, right? Not everybody's like, oh, great for you, KU. But it's like, he's no longer at Kansas. So like, just sit back and enjoy the story. Like, Nikola Jokic, good story. Second round, Taco Bell commercial. The picture of him is like a obese kid, like whatever. You want to throw all the shame on him you want. Now everybody's like, well, he might be the best basketball player in the world. If you're picking number one overall in a future draft, you taking him or Giannis, I think it'd be 50-50 on who you take, maybe a little bit more slided towards Jokic. But 19 minutes, 15 points, that's doing your job and some. Like, they don't need him to have 15 points. Go out there and get a couple steals, you know, 6-7 points. Man, you put up 15 quick in 19 minutes, and you sit down, and then you get people on the announcer's call saying that there should be a chain given to you. Pretty solid, especially as a rookie. And, man, go out there and outshine Michael Porter Jr., the Mizzou guy. Then you really have a nice little border war.
Michael Porter Jr. just struggled, to say the least, in all three games of this series. He can't make a three-point shot. It's been brutal to watch in this series in particular. But the Nuggets are fun. As a basketball team as a whole, it's fun to watch. I mean, Jokic, you mentioned what he's been able to do. Then Jamal Murray last night was incredible. But I think Christian Brown, the situation he found himself in is also perfect, right? I mean,
sure.
where he got drafted on.
The seventh man off the bench.
Yeah, he got drafted on already a very good team. And his role and what he probably excels at, usually we're talking about defense more than scoring. Last night he was, of course, doing everything.
Right.
It was terrific. The steal and dunk in particular is the highlight that really stands out from last night. It swung the game a little bit when Miami was certainly competitive before it got out of hand for the Heat, but that's a perfect role for him on a perfect spot on a perfect team. And so it'll be interesting to see if we fast forward a couple years down the road, is there another level, or is he going to just be consistently throughout his career just guy like probably like the is he a sixth man that can come off the bench at some point throughout his career?
If that's the case, I think you cash in now. Like, what's the game Carrington plays always, like, press the red button,
hypothetical button.
You take this right now. You know, two NBA championships, you're a six man off the bench and you can do whatever, or, you know, you play your career. I mean, look, I don't think he's ever going to be a starter in the NBA. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, right now, could he pass Aaron Gordon up if he sticks around for a couple more years? He just doesn't seem like he's big enough.
Yeah, maybe Gordon's a great great defender. So is Christian Brown, but just a little bit different.
And he can finish a little bit easier, but he's also been in the league longer, right? So, but I think Christian Brown, if you signed him up to be a sixth man off the bench for the next 10 years in the NBA on this team that's extremely young, that's going to be good for a while and run, you know, the West for quite a while. I mean, I don't know who challenged him in the West. Golden State's going to blow up. The Lakers need some help, you know, whatever. The East is getting stronger. Everybody over there is pretty good.
It's weird because there's always, in the NBA, there's just so much movement that it can swing pretty quickly, as you know.
Right.
I mean, just all it takes is one superstar all of a sudden wakes up one morning and is like, you know what? I actually really don't want to be here anymore. And it's like way more power to get moved in the NBA.
I do have a theory that Klay goes to the Lakers.
That'd be interesting. Oh, or Chris Paul now might be the answer for the Lakers.
Yeah,
with
he
him
needs
getting
to get a championship because his daughter's getting bullied because his dad doesn't have any championships. That's a true story. I'm not making that up.
No, I did see that.
I think Christian Brown, it's fun to see because it's local. I think that's one thing. And it's like somebody here in the text line says, honestly, I hate KU. I'm a Missouri fan. But when Christian Brown gets that fire in his eyes, he's downright unstoppable. The kid knows how to finish. He's ferocious inside the paint. Like, we talk about how he's not big enough, but he has explosiveness that is good. That's going to be there for at least this time in his youth. And you know what? He bet on himself to leave early. He left. He did good. He's making it in the NBA right now. He's got a chance to win a championship. And what, the rest of your career is house money? Get another contract. You have a ring. You got a college national championship. You got a couple high school ones. I mean, man cave built, done, and completed. Yeah, and you're in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic, even they don't win that game. It sounds weird to say when two guys on your team had a triple-double, which it's never happened in the finals like that. But
ever.
He said they don't win that game without Christian Brown. And I think the way the game was played at that point before Christian Brown came off the bench, that's accurate. That's how impressive it was. Now, real quick, the way the series, it's 2-1, Denver, game four is going to be on Friday night down in Miami. And it's weird. We have the same feeling today as we had probably after game one, where at that point everybody thought, oh, Denver's going to sweep. Then, of course, the Heat came back and even the series. I feel like we're right back in the same spot where everybody's like, well, the Nuggets are going to win out now and win the series 4-1.
I thought it was for sure going to go 7 after they split in Denver. Because I'm like, man, you split in Denver. They were 9-0 at home. They hadn't lost a playoff game on their own home court. And then last night, they just kind of showed that Miami has to play a perfect game in order for Miami to actually win. Like, their role players have to have 10 or more. Because, I mean, you're not beating a team that has two guys that can potentially get a triple-double, and then you have a guy that can score 15 and 19 minutes. Plus, we're not even talking about Gordon.
You just said it too, Dusty. Like, they didn't need that from Christian Brown to win that game, where the Heat need it from all of their Christian Browns.
Yeah.
All their role, they have to have
it. If they don't, they're screwed.
For the Nuggets, that was just like a cherry on the top.
Because what did Adebayo have last night? Like 25 and 20?
Yeah, but if Max Strus is only making 1-3 and you're not getting anything else from Gabe Vincent, you know, whatever it may be, they need three other guys next
Gabe
to
Vincent
to Jimmy Butler.
What was the first game? Vincent and Strus were like over 12 in the first
Caleb
half.
Martin,
nowhere. And I mean, you can't just. Look, I love the Jimmy Butler story, but he can't have 28 every night by himself.
I still don't think he's healthy.
You don't think he's healthy?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, no one's healthy at this point.
No, but I think we'll find out after the series is done that he had something else going on.
Where would you say this goes right now? You think it gets to six?
I think it still gets to six. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I still think Nuggets are going to win the series, but.
So they lose in Miami 4-2?
I think Friday night, the Heat will win on tomorrow night. And
even
then,
it up.
And even it up, and then the Nuggets will win the next two. That's just kind of how I see it going. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. I did want to get back to some Chiefs football, though, because yesterday on the show, Cody and I were talking about Chase Young. And, of course, he hasn't been healthy at all for the Commanders. He only has a sack and a half over the last couple of seasons. But there's reports that he's being shopped, perhaps, out of D.C., and they already didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I had said, look, you got to understand with him, it's basically a one-year flyer. Can you trade him for a fourth or fifth-round pick? Anything more, I'm really not all that interested because at his age, he's still so young. If he comes in for your organization and has 6-8 sacks, to me, he's going to outprice himself, and you won't be able to if you're going to sign Chris Jones as well, right? Let's say the Chiefs give out 4 years, $100 million to Chris Jones. I don't think they can turn around and give 4 years, $80-something million to Chase Young. If that's the case. Well, What about another player? Because now there's talk out of Minnesota that Danielle Hunter could be on the move. Listen to what Ian Rappaport had to say of NFL Network.
Minnesota, here's my understanding of where it stands. Yeah, somewhat murky future for Danielle Hunter in Minnesota. Here's my understanding of where it stands. Sources say that teams have been calling the Minnesota Vikings regarding Danielle Hunter. He has, in fact, generated some trade interest. Now, this is something we've heard rumors about really for the last, I would say, several months, Tom, and you try to figure out why. There are a couple reasons. First of all, he is very, very good. Teams usually like really, really good players at premium positions like pass rusher. He's also due to make just $5.5 million this year because he moved money from this year up a couple years back to better properly compensate him. And the Vikings and Hunter have not yet been able to strike a long-term deal to compensate him at a level he wants. And when there are rumors about a player not getting the contract he wants, usually there are teams that call. My understanding is the interest is pretty serious. Now, the Vikings have tried to make this work. They have tried to do kind of a Band-Aid type deal to compensate him for 2023. And then we'll see after this. Trade probably would have been a lot easier before the draft because then the Vikings would be able to replace him. Much more difficult now. But at least, Tom, these conversations are happening, and we will see where they end up.
First off, I don't know what the Minnesota Vikings are doing. They're a team that won 13 games last year. Their defense, though, was horrific. And that's why they were bounced so early in the postseason. And now it looks like Danielle Hunter could be on the move, a guy that had 10.5 sacks for you on that defense that was already terrible. So I'm not so sure what the Vikings are doing. We'll talk about Dalvin Cook getting cut coming up a little bit later on in the show. I'm far more intrigued by a potential trade for Danielle Hunter. I know there's some questions about fit, but I think if Kansas City were to acquire Danielle Hunter, we're talking about the pass rush going to a completely different level for this football team. Because the three guys that potentially you could still tell me that they could get before the start of the season, two of them require trades, Chase Young, Danielle Hunter. And the third is, of course, Frank Clark, who is still a free agent that's out there. And he was just at the ring ceremony with the guys, but the White House ceremony.
That's coming up.
The ring ceremony is coming up. Danielle Hunter's 28 years old, Dusty. And he had 10.5 sacks last year, played in all 17 games. The year before, only played in 7, but had 6 sacks. And then the two prior years had 14.5 sacks. And you heard from Rappaport, only $5.5 million what he's making this year because of some restructuring. But it is also the final year of the contract. Out of the three players I just mentioned to you, Danielle Hunter is the one that intrigues me the most.
Frank.
Still Frank for you.
Yeah.
Is it because you don't have to give up draft capital?
That, and you have the chemistry. I also thought it was a good point that Nick made is that the kid from Minnesota is not your typical Spags sort of outside edge rusher, right? Nick said he was like more like a linebacker, more so, you know, not really like the big Justin Tuck type of guy.
Danielle Hunter is what?
6'4",
6'5", 263.
Or 263, yeah. That's a big dude, right? But to me, Frank Clark's intriguing because you don't have to really give up anything. you had your moment where it was like, oh, you know what? We'd love to have you here. Your agent thinks you can make this. You're not making this. No one signed you yet. Hey, you know the system. B, you know the locker room. And C, I guarantee you, you're still hungry to like, because all Frank Clark needs is like a little bitty narrative, because here he is telling everybody what he's worth. We saw what he did last year in the playoffs with Sacks. Nobody picks him up this year in offseason. But guess who comes calling? Brett Veach. Frank Clark joins the Chiefs. They win another ring. Let's hypothetically say they win. They go back-to-back. Then what? You think the Frank Clark post-game interviews were great before? After the Titans win? After the Super Bowl win?
Well, they're always great.
This one would be even more epic. Now, the kid from Washington.
Chase Young.
That's the one that I think is like, what is it? Like the FMK, right? The hypothetical that already, yes. Okay, right? Young has always been like the sexy look because it worked really well his rookie season in Washington. And then it just kind of went awry. Like everyone's just like, well, what happened?
He's
like
played in 11 games the last three seasons.
He got hurt. But is it one of those things where like, is he really hurt? Does he really want to be there? Washington's football team is a disaster. They're trying to fix it up and kind of clean it up. They got their new head coach, your boy Eric Bieniemy,
OC,
but you know, and they're trying to change things there, right? And they got new ownership, whatever. And then the kid from Minnesota, right? Like, oh wow, 10.5 sacks last year. The year before, like 6 or so, but then after that it was like 14.5. He's only 29. He's got, you know, some negotiations he has to do. And then there's Frank, right? Then there's like, well, do you marry Frank? Do you just hold on to Frank? Do you just keep it for what it is? Like, it's going to be a slow, not really an exciting regular season. But by God, when it matters, 55 shows up and everybody loves 55 in the playoffs.
I think for me, I break it down where it's, are you looking to have a one-year stopgap, or do you think there's a chance that out of these three, any of them can be long-term answers?
Because, no way.
Because the only long-term answers possibility is Danielle Hunter and Chase Young, not Frank Clark. Frank Clark is always going to sign one-year deals the rest of his career.
Smart.
And that's just where he's at in his career. Chase Young is still super, super young at this point. And so if he were to come on a one-year deal through a trade, I think his market would be out of control if he had even 7 sacks for you because of his age. Danielle Hunter comes in and ends up being a 6-sack guy. I don't know how crazy the market gets. A lot of this is going to be, I think, predicated on, are we sitting here a month from now, or a month and a half, really, and before camp, is Chris Jones under a new contract or not? Because what if I told you that we're in the middle of August, and it looks at that point in time that there's no new deal for Chris, and he's all of a sudden going in the final year of his contract, and Hunter and Young are still out there? I think those have to become more realistic options at that point. Because if they give a 4-year, $105 million deal to Chris Jones, then I don't think either of these two trade kit options really are realistic, because you're trading draft compensation for 1 year, and you're probably not going to be able to afford both. And for those that say, oh, well, they afforded Frank Clark and Chris Jones at one point in time on a $100 million deal for Frank, yeah, they didn't have Patrick Mahomes hitting $45 million cap hits, you know, at that point in time. Mahomes was on a rookie deal still. Yeah. I think it's a lot more challenging when you look at the financials. They got a right tackle. They're paying a lot of money in Jawan Taylor. They're going to have pretty soon possibly the highest paid center in football could happen if they want to retain Creed Humphrey in the next year or so.
And well, you want to give that right right guard.
Yeah, are they going to give Snead a new deal? I think that I don't believe they can have Chris Jones and one of these other guys on a huge deal. So the only way Hunter or Chase Young to me makes sense fully is if you tell me that, hey, they're not going to give a deal to Chris
Jones. What a day to be alive that we're here talking about Chiefs defense over Chiefs offense, right?
Well, I think the resources are going to continually, for as long as Mahomes is in his prime, they're going to continue to invest on the defensive side of the ball financially more than other areas in terms of, and draft capital. I mean, we've just seen the last two drafts they took in the first round, obviously Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie, and then we just saw them draft Felix.
When does Patrick Mahomes' prime end, though?
I think
34?
I think once he gets past 33, you have to start making sure you don't let what happened with Rodgers happen, which is where you aren't surrounding him as much talent.
You have 6 more years of prime.
Oh, yeah, that's what's great.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. The other thing, too, is that what? Daniil is 29?
I think he'll be 29 soon. Yeah, he's 28 right now.
Okay.
Why do they want to get rid of him? They have money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't. They're blowing up to give Justin Jefferson.
But they're not even up against it. Like, they have $41 million in cap room next year.
There's a red flag.
It's bizarre, though.
Is that a red flag?
For Hunter? No. I just tried to figure out what the Vikings are doing. They won 13 games last year. They're not the favorites to win the division. Everybody thought they were frauds.
Lions?
The Lions are, yeah. And they lost in the very early first round, I guess, wild card round, of the postseason.
Yeah, because Kirk Cousins is terrible in the playoffs.
Fine. I still think Kirk Cousins takes way too much heat than what he actually deserves. I just look at their defense. Know as much. Right. I know you're a fantasy football guy. You follow this stuff closely with some of the stats each year, week to week.
Yeah.
That defense was pitiful.
Oh, it's terrible.
Pathetic.
That's why it's always great to play wide receivers and running backs against Minnesota defense.
And now you're going to take away Danielle Hunter. So I don't know what the Vikings are doing. I really don't.
I don't, yeah.
I can't imagine they're going to sign Cousins to a new deal.
No, but they can restructure.
Justin Jefferson will get a record-setting deal, but I mean,
sure.
That doesn't make it so you have to cut everyone else on your roster.
So if you could pick, so how would you rank them? Young, Hunter, Clark.
For the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Well, like real
FMK, what do you do?
Well, I would say for this one season,
it's
answer is Danielle Hunter for this season.
Okay.
You're effing him or you're
No, I'm signing him. I'm signing
him.
You're Danielle Hunter.
Okay.
Well, no, that would be a long-term deal.
So
actually,
that's him.
Who are you marrying?
So who are you effing and who are you K-ing?
I think they're all 1-year options. I don't think there's a long-term deal.
So Alex effing them all.
You're just a bachelor. That's what he is. Stick and move.
Sponsored by Blue Chew. Full circle.
That's how we get back to the very start of the show. That's how we do it. Thank you, Dustin.
Honestly, the Chiefs should just sign every single free agent. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
Honestly, sign them all.
Yeah, get Hopkins. Should have got Beckham,
make
Hopkins,
a super team.
Hunter, why not?
Should have gotten Thielen.
Mm-hmm. Just sign every single person. What are you doing? What are you doing out there? All right, coming up next, though. It happened for a 13th time. Yikes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, just getting started here on a Thursday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold. Dusty Likens is in for Cody Tapp. Nick Schwartz producing the show. We'll get to Nick's notable notes coming up in about 12 minutes or so. We mentioned yesterday, could Jordan Lyles and the Royals do something they haven't been able to do all year? That is get a win with Jordan Lyles on the mound. Of course, the answer to that was no. 13 straight outings now, Dusty.
Hate to see it.
For Jordan Lyles on the bump, and 13 losses for the boys in blue. He did give them 7 innings, but gave up 5 earned runs, and yet again had a lead early on in a baseball game, albeit 1-0, and then immediately in the bottom half of the third inning gave up 3 runs, and it was quickly 3-1. The Royals ended up losing 6-1. They're 18-44.
At this point, do you just want to see how long the streak can continue?
There's part of me that kind of does. Is that bad to say? Because it's the longest streak, losing streak in starts made by a Royals pitcher in the club's history.
If you're going to be bad,
and that's
be the worst. I think that's the motto of KU football. Don't just be bad. Be historically bad. Make records.
He is owed still over, I think, $10 million for the life of the contract, but
that's
he has
great.
$8 million next year on his deal.
That just sounds like a buyout.
I know they wanted a guy to eat innings, and he is actually 8
and
innings.
Losses, apparently.
But you go and throw him on the mound, you don't win. I mean, it's not even just like, oh, well, they just never win. They literally never win.
So are we supposed to hammer the opposing team next time they play Lyles?
Well, we joked yesterday because obviously Vern does his pregame show and all that, and Cody bet on the Royals just to say it was time. There's nothing that says they eventually have to win one of his starts. Like, there's really nothing that says that.
The thing that's tricky about that, though, is that he doesn't necessarily have to, like, win or lose.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, it's not.
Sucks.
He's not 0-13.
Right,
But they are 0-13 in starts.
When he's,
Absolutely.
Which makes you think
and
that...
Scoring one run, by the way, in yesterday, one run is just not... I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't... How many times one run is not enough? And your pitcher, even if he only gave up 3 runs, you should be able to have a chance to win that baseball game. You scored one run yesterday, but the Jordan Lyles, I don't know how, if this continues and all of a sudden he ends up this year and starts what 20 something games or closer to 30, I guess, but 20 something games and they only win like 3 or 4 of them. I don't know how next year you can trot him out for $8 million, and even though it's $8 million and trot him out there. So I don't know how that's going to pan out in the long term, but it's absolutely embarrassing.
You feel worse for Jordan Lyles or Zach Greinke? Like, is this team worse for Greinke than it was when he was like the Cy Young?
Greinke knows what he... I think Greinke...
I get it, but it's just more so
performing still at a ridiculous level for his age.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when he was really good, the team was really bad. And now he's on a team that has 18 wins.
Yeah, but I think he knew what he was getting himself into. I mean, it's not
18 wins.
Not this bad, but I think nobody thought it would be this bad where they're going to easily lose over 100 games. I mean, it's not even a question anymore now, just to what extent. But they weren't going to come in, and he didn't think they're going to be competing.
Do you still
for
watch Royals games?
Occasionally.
Will you watch tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
On a Friday night?
You
Hell
can't
no.
start your weekend off like
no,
that.
On the weekends, no. It'll be if
because the game is what, 6?
They don't play tonight. Tonight would have been a night where I would have might have put it on because there's no
would
NBA
you watch,
Finals game.
Okay, so the Royals start at, let's say tonight. Let's say they play tonight. They start at 7:15. Stanley Cup Finals. What are you watching?
I'll watch the first inning to the Royals game, and then I'll flip over to the state. But the Royals don't play tonight, right? They're off, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
off. Play in Baltimore.
You got
tomorrow.
Jay Binkley doing after hours tonight from 6 to 9.
So they play in Baltimore this weekend. Now, Monday night, I am going, and you mentioned earlier when you mentioned the Kelsey photo, it is Chiefs night Monday night. So I'll go Monday night out to the K. I got some tickets going with some friends and family on Monday night. But
nice.
The other part, besides just Jordan Lyles and this run that is historical at this point, I can live, I can live with evaluating the young guys, but the defensive lapses and what I think are guys playing in wrong positions, it's just brutal to watch. We can deal with the struggles at times of the plate and progressing through that. But some of the mental lapses are what is even more frustrating right now. They weren't even Dusty competitive in this Miami series against the Marlins. They were not competitive really in any of the 3 games. I think you got MJ Melendez playing the wrong position. Bobby Wood Jr., I think as time goes on, we might find out, have been playing the wrong position as well.
Okay.
They have guys that are just in wrong spots.
So is that a GM thing or is that a head coach thing?
Well, that's a construction of the roster thing. Yeah.
So it's a, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a construction of the roster thing. I mean, I before the season even started, I said that Salvador Perez should not be playing as much catcher, and MJ Melendez should be rotating. And they chose not to go with that route.
Yep.
I mean, we talked to Vern yesterday. At some point in time, I wonder if it'll become more of a common conversation. Is Bobby Wood Jr. either third base or should he play in center field for this team?
Well, I mean, there's no life, right? The Royals scored 8 runs in 3 games. Marlins scored 9 in the first game. They scored 6 in the second game, and they scored 6 in the third game. Okay? Quick math, that's 21-9 that you got outscored by the Marlins. And I get it, the Marlins are hot right now in the NL. They're streaking. They're not really a team that we should all be worried about at the end of the, I mean, they have a guy hitting over 400, which is kind of cool. Their pitching's doing decent. But it's, man, it's lifeless. And it's sad. It's one thing if the Royals, and I've had this take before, and I don't really care to talk too much about it, but it's one thing if they had 25 wins, 26 wins. They have eight freaking team. They have 18 freaking wins. It's June 8th.
Yeah, June 8th, are they getting to 25 by the All-Star break?
No. They're terrible. And no one cares. Like, nothing. Like, they care more about their, and it, this is not like I know anything, but it would almost appear as if they care more about their physical appearance than what they're doing right now. Like, MJ's all doctored up, got the chains on every game, can't field a ball in right field, can't hit his weight. But hey, let's make sure we look good. 18 wins. There's nobody cares. And I know that it's tough to care. It's tough to have like that attitude of like, all right, let's go out there and shock the world. Go win 10 in a row. Don't give us a talking point of, oh, this guy's now lost 13 times and he's been a pitcher.
I mean, they're at the point now where they could win 20 or 25 in a row and they'd still be under 500.
But
I know what you're saying. But that's how bad it is, right?
It's terrible.
They could, which are not, obviously, they could win 20 games in a row, which would be unheard of, and they still would be below 500. It already looks horrific, but they're also in such a crappy division. It is by far the worst. First place team in the division isn't even above 500.
Not only that,
like, so it's not even like they're in this division. Like, man, you know what? They're trying to rebuild and this division's so difficult. It's not. The division's the worst division in baseball by a mile.
The only team that's worse than they are is a team that doesn't literally physically care about anything. Right. It's the Oakland A's. And I don't count them as a team in baseball. I literally refuse to count the A's as a baseball team.
Yeah, they're not
I think the
team.
Savannah Bananas could beat the Oakland A's. I really do believe that. Gut of my soul, you put those two rosters on a field, Savannah Bananas wins 7 out of 10 times. To have a conversation with the Royals and the Savannah Bananas, more people would go see the Savannah. The Savannah Bananas sold out. The Royals are going to have more people at a game.
Yeah, the Savannah Bananas are basically the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. Yeah.
At least they try. And you know what's funny is? They're going to have a huge crowd on Monday night. What's ironic about it is that it's not going to be for the Royals. It's going to be for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they are 3 weeks away from becoming absolutely 100% irrelevant. Because once these boys in red start going to St. Joe and you start seeing 15 tongue out, slinging that ball, yeah, it's over, man. And it's free tickets. That's the only way you're going.
Well, yeah, I mean, the most intriguing thing over the next month and a half or so with the Royals just going to be, who do they end up moving and what do they get back in return? I mean, that's going to be the most intriguing stuff over the next month and a half.
And what sucks is you can't move Sal. Your biggest asset, you can't move because there's no return for him.
You can, but you're not going to wait until the off. We were talking about this with Vern. He thinks that if they were to ever do it, it's more probably an offseason deal because catcher needs to learn the pitching staff that he's going to go to and all that. But we know yesterday Ken Rosenthal had that report that, you know, Chapman and Barlow, no-brainers, of
package
course.
Deal.
If some team's willing to take both, that brings back a better prospect, someone that's closer to being big league ready. That'll be the more intriguing storylines. Like, how active are they? We know they want to be more transactional. How active are they going to be as we get closer? By the time we're sitting here on August 1st, how many guys on the roster right now are still on the roster? That'll be the more interesting thing. Yeah, I mean, that'll be we'll see. Yeah,
I think that there needs to be expectations that need to be checked by fans. Like, if Bobby, I think we can all kind of stop thinking that Bobby's going to be Soto, Tatis, Rodriguez, he's not going to be that guy, at least from what I'm seeing. But if Bobby Witt can be peak Gordon, because to me they have similar career paths. Now, Bobby didn't get sent down, but Gordon, you know, unfortunate though, came up. Next, George Brett. First game as a big leaguer, he gets to draw Curt Schilling and the Boston Red Sox. What happens? 4 strikeouts every single time was a standing ovation. Eventually, Gordon wasn't hitting. Gordon wasn't fielding at third base. They sent him down to the minor leagues. He changed his number from 4 to 7. He turns into a left fielder. All of a sudden, Gordon is a doubles machine. He's able to hit the ball. He's able to field. He's the best left fielder in baseball for 6 years. World Series champion, fan favorite, still is. If Bobby Witt can get to that, I think we can, you know, reevaluate and think about it in a nice form of way. Vinny Pasquantino, maybe that was your superstar all along. Maybe that's the guy. He brings the fun to the team. He has the mascot with the Sasquatch. He hits for power. He's got a good personality. MJ seems like a guy you moved. You missed on it. Didn't work. The home runs were very sexy in the minor leagues. Didn't work. It's time to everybody just reevaluate. You know, we all talked about it. We listened to Vern all the time. 2022 was supposed to be the turn. Now I get it. You had COVID and you had all that weird stuff happen and the minor leagues got all screwy. But, man, I don't know. Maybe reevaluate head coaching. Maybe reevaluate GM. Maybe reevaluate everything that you're putting into this team, because what you have on this field right now is it's humorous.
Yeah, I get the frustration. The only thing, as far as evaluating Matt Quatrero after 3 months or whatever we are now into 2 months into the season, that to me, I think it's way too early to make a judgment on the manager for this team, considering what the roster is, considering how new you still are to managing a big league club. So that's the only one. Like, I think anybody saying that he should be getting more criticized or his job should be in jeopardy, that to me is crazy. All the other frustration and everything else you said, I completely agree with the evaluation. Mm-hmm. By the time we're done with 162, it should be no more of like, well, we'll see next year. We'll have our answers with these guys, and the organization's going to have to make decisions, and I'm curious to see what happens at the trade deadline as well. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7610, Dusty, said that, I know the Royals and the season sucks, but it's your job to get us excited to go, man. No, it's not.
No, actually, that's part. I've seen your guys'
yeah,
contracts.
It actually says that. Yeah.
Yeah, man, you should go watch fireworks and eat and dollar hot dogs, and you can go watch Zach Greinke pitch while he's still in the league. Go do that. Well, go watch Sal Perez hit a definitely. Home run. Go have fun with it, man.
You guys are ignoring all the positives, which is that
KMA, buddy.
Well, no, it's just good. I think most physicians would recommend getting out and, you know, getting some sunlight, some vitamin D every single day. And these players are getting that. And here's the most important thing. They're trying. They're trying hard. And they're getting a good sweat in. And they're increasing their cardiovascular health. And all of these things are positive things that the Royals are out there accomplishing.
I'll be there Monday night. But it sure as hell is not our job to get you excited to go out to Kauffman Stadium. And if it ever is, and go ahead and start sending Dusty and I a cut of the check for each game or whatever you take in.
Yeah.
Please go. Once you start doing that, we can have a conversation. All right, Nick, let's get to your notes.
Write something down.
Nick's notable.
I love that. Always love it when Dusty's in and goes a little a cappella with it. All right, guys. The RBC Canadian Open teed off today. Next week, the U.S. Open. So it's a big time for the sport of golf. But obviously, the biggest story, and one of the biggest stories in sports, remains this merger between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour. Now, I think a lot of people are already speaking of it in past tense, as in, the two sides merged. Not really. We were talking about $1 billion changing hands, and I think when we talk about basically what is becoming a monopoly in golf, there are a lot of people in the government in Washington, D.C. who are going to have their eye close on this. In fact, the Justice Department's antitrust division said that they're going to be monitoring the details of this proposed merger very, very carefully. If you guys remember, I think it was Spirit Airlines and JetBlue tried to merge earlier this year, and they blocked that because of these anti-monopoly rules. So the idea, by the way, even though Jay Monahan would have you believe this is going to effectively bring about the end of LIV Golf, a lot of people around the sport that have been plugged in and on the scene with LIV Golf from the beginning don't believe that that league is going to go down so quietly, and that there could be a potential for it to continue sort of in conjunction with the PGA Tour. Now, the PIF, right, this Saudi-backed investment fund worth over $600 billion, like, this is their baby. This is their sort of creation, and they don't want to see it go away. In fact, some people believe, and Alan Shipnuck, who's been all over this story from the beginning, wrote about
that last name one more time?
Shipnuck.
Okay.
He believes that this could actually open the door for guys who previously declined offers from LIV to potentially now take the check and say, why wouldn't I take it now? Because I have no loyalty to the PGA Tour anymore. So I missed out on the check the first time around. I'm not making that mistake twice.
It's like people that smoke marijuana now, they're like, I would never do drugs. Well, it's legal. Okay, well, now I can do it, so I don't feel bad. I'm just kidding. It's a terrible analogy. Very interesting, though, like with this whole thing, because, I mean, I think eventually golf is going to look just like MLB, NBA, and the NFL. There'll be contracts. There'll be guys that'll negotiate ways that they should be making money the same way. Hey, he's a top 10. I'm a top 10. Like, what's the basis, you know, structure of, you know, negotiation when it comes to golf contracts? Like, how much Rory going to get? Like, Rory, I feel so bad for Rory.
So get this. I'm glad you brought up Rory, because In this piece on the Fire Pit Collective from Alan Shipnick, he writes about, and he talks to one anonymous LIV executive who was talking about wanting to get the guys who stuck with the PGA Tour now. And he said, quote, "Now we can finally get Hideki and John Rahm. Mm-hmm. I would say every big name on the PGA Tour will get an offer, except Rory. Nobody wants that little bitch on their team." So he may be the one guy that LIV wants nothing to do with.
But there are some thoughts that I think it's Monahan himself said that Tiger and Rory will be, quote, rewarded. Now, what is that? Again, what does that look like? Who knows? It is. I will say this. So what does Monahan even mean?
The guy's a coward.
We've talked about this for now 3+ days or whatever. And we'll find out more as the months move on, and we probably get to September, I think, is when some of this is supposed to be finalized. But it is a little interesting, as much as Rory backed up the tour, he said that the guys that left can't just come back without, you know, punishment or whatever, right? Okay, makes sense. But then on the flip side, he wants to then get paid for not taking the offer that he's being criticized for. Does anybody else think that's back, like, that doesn't make sense either? Think about that for a second. I left, I got the money. I'm coming back. I got to get punished because how dare I do that? Rory didn't do that. Okay, great. Good for you. But you want to be rewarded for doing that. So you want to get paid either way. Does anybody else think that doesn't work that way?
I mean, I get like instinctually, like emotionally wanting to feel like you didn't come out on the bleep end of the stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure deep down he's like, is there any way that I win? Is there any way that I don't look like the idiot for backing up the PGA Tour, not getting the payday, and still feeling like I didn't get the worst deal of everybody? But the answer is probably not. Like, you're going to get screwed, and you're going to be at the bottom end of this no matter what.
Yeah, I still think they're all just going to end up making way more money now with this new setup.
Yeah, because let's be honest. The PGA Tour has been a nonprofit for years, and they have been scamming American taxpayers. We have been paying for it. We have.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball used to be a nonprofit as well. And I think when the players striked, what was that now, 20-some-odd years ago?
94.
That's when they had to revoke their nonprofit status. It's good for the game for them to not act like this is all a big charitable endeavor.
Yeah, I mean, I do think 5+ years from now, and I'm not telling anybody to not still have their feelings towards the sovereign fund of Saudi Arabia and where the money's coming from, and obviously the horrible things that are linked to that country. But 5+ years from now, from a sports-only perspective, I don't think we're going to be saying, man, the tour is like, I don't think we're going to be sitting here, man, the golf is horrible or less money or anything. Like, I don't think as much is going to change as we think.
We have short attention spans, too. Like, dude, they have $600 billion, but in 2 years, that's going to be $1 trillion. They're just talking about some of the most powerful people on the planet. That kind of money means you get to do whatever you want. There is nobody who gets to tell you what you can't accomplish in this world with funds like that.
And you look at the top sponsors in golf, so the money's always going to be pouring in. It's like Mercedes, Rolex, Charles Schwab, State Farm,
and now
all of a sudden,
like those major sponsors for the PGA Tour, whether it's a car company, whether it's a beer company, broadcast company, they're saying, well, if you're getting in bed with LIV, then what's to stop us from becoming a corporate sponsor now?
Right.
Well, where's the outcry going to come from now that you guys are actively engaging in business with them? Why shouldn't we as well?
And then you have people like the 913 PGA sold out to the people who orchestrated 9/11. F the PGA.
That's the feeling from a lot of people
about this. That's what I'm saying. And then you also have people like Bryson DeChambeau who said maybe we should, you know, forgive them for what they did.
That was a disastrous
PR person needs to be fired.
Yeah, for those who don't know,
I think they probably already have been.
For those that don't know what we're referencing, DeChambeau was on, I think, CNN, right?
Yeah,
a day ago or whatever.
Yesterday.
And just did an interview and just could not have gotten any worse.
Okay, first off, the PR person should be fired for booking him on an interview with CNN. What do you think they're going to ask?
Yeah,
they're trying to grab a headline.
They're going to ask you about the geopolitical stuff, not the sports stuff.
Do an interview with Golf Channel, and if they ask you about 9/11, then they're the ones who look
like
idiots.
Not only that, but CNN cracked their knuckles and said, all right, let's go find the biggest meathead on the tour and see what he has to say.
Was DeChambeau even alive in 9/11? Like, hey, man, you don't have to answer for this, pal. We know you weren't in Al-Qaeda back in 2001, DeChambeau.
Yeah, brutal. I mean, and then, just it is what it is. And then from the 816, for the sake of content, why not get us excited for anything? Bunch of negative Nancys and Debbie Downers.
That's in reference to the Royals discussion, I see.
I mean, you can have a lot. There's a Grateful Dead night at the K. It's always fun. They play a bunch of Grateful Dead songs where they give up a fireworks show. You get a little Colorful Bear. They got Buck Night. They got a, we'll probably have a 6-10 day at the K where you get to see me try to run my fat ass down the line again and get mad.
Yeah, nobody's saying not to go to the games, but if you're asking, if you're saying it's our, it's definitely not our job to get you excited.
No, you're, no, you know what? This texture's right. The Royals are great. They're giving us a fantastic product, and I think the sky is the limit for this group of kids.
Perfect.
Coming up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour, and DeAndre Hopkins. Visits are beginning. We know he's in Nashville, and now what seemed like the favorite landing spot is no longer. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.